Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 9, Text 3. Please see it on the board for those of you who read Telugu script. Ashradadhanaf Purusha Dharmasyasya Parantapa Aprapya mang nivartante Mrityu sangsara vartmani Ashradadhanaf purusha Dharmasyasya parantapa Aprapya mang nivartante Mrityu sangsara vartmani Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Purport. The faithless cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees. Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidence of Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is a most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. That is called real faith. Does anyone know that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita? Who's saying it? Ah, yeah, please say. Please say loudly. Shraddha shabde bishas kare kahe sudhira nischoy krishne bhakti koile sharava kama krita hoy. Continuing Srila Prabhupada's purport, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, yata taror mula nishechenena tripyanti tat skandha bhujo bhakshakaha prano paharaj cha yatindriyanam tathaiva sarvahanam achuteja. By giving water to the root of a tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs, and leaves, and by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service of the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. End of the translation. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious men. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably they will slip after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't got complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. And as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take to their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the literatures of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called a first-class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding the devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti, or service to Krishna, is the best course, and so in good faith have taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class, who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by an association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class person in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through the scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes these third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency toward karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. But as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages and described in Srimad Bhagavatam. First class attachment, second class attachment, and third class attachment are also explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith, even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them, there is very little hope of gaining perfection. Thus, faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. Faith in Krishna means faith in the process of Krishna consciousness, faith in Krishna, Guru and Vaishnavas, Hari Guru Vaishnava, faith in the Shastra, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Without that, one cannot make progress in devotional service. Without faith in Krishna consciousness, why would anyone want to take it up anyway? Well, Srila Prabhupada suggests why in this purport. Someone may have ulterior motives. They're not inspired by the prospect of attaining to pure devotional service. They're inspired by the prospect of some material gain or maybe liberation. That's not very common in the modern age that anyone's interested in liberation. Here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses people who take to Krishna consciousness and again go away. Please, no photographs. No photographs. You can take photographs afterward if you like. This is a Shravan Kirtan camp, not a Shravan Kirtan photo camp. So photographs may be taken later, but please, during the lecture, just listen. It's more important than taking photographs. Much more important. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada discusses persons who take to Krishna consciousness, but then again revert to their non-Krishna conscious ways. There's a word in English which probably none of you know. Probably most people whose first language is English also don't know. It's called recidivist. It means someone who recedes, specifically to a criminal who appears to have been reformed but goes back to his criminal ways. Or a drug addict who appears to have been cured from the addiction, but they again slip into their drug habit. So in devotional service, someone may take it up and again fall away. It's as if their mind has gone. Maybe you have experience speaking to such a person. Actually, in the West, it's more common, because in India, people who take to Krishna consciousness seriously, they may go away from the serious practicing, but they'll still retain some faith in Krishna. Whereas in the West, people may just completely leave it. They may think it was some phase I went through. Now I don't subscribe to that, and they completely lose it altogether. Their mind is gone. You can't, whatever you say to them, it's completely closed from Krishna consciousness. We also have the phenomenon of people who take to Krishna consciousness seriously, but then who lapse into a standard of practice which is not very serious. It's enough to keep them from falling into grossly sinful activities, but it's not enough for them to go back to Godhead. It's something like treading water, you could say, in swimming. Well, if you're in water, you can drown, or you can swim to go to the edge of the lake or whatever, or you can tread water. Tread water means you do a little movement. You don't go anywhere, but you don't sink either. So like that, some people may be doing some Krishna conscious practice, but they don't apply themselves in the way that Srila Prabhupada mentions here. After reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. So they may be doing something, but they're not fully committed to the process of Krishna consciousness. And there must be dozens, if not hundreds, of such persons here in the Twin Cities, Hyderabad, Secunderabad, who have been initiated within ISKCON, but who now don't practice very seriously. Or they may have been initiated when they weren't practicing seriously either, in which case they shouldn't have been initiated. Initiation means to give a chance, Srila Prabhupada once said. Actually, it's meant to be a commitment. Dikka kale bhakta kare atta samarpan. At the time of initiation, one completely offers himself. But it's understood that those who take initiation are not on the completely pure platform. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a need to take initiation. All those who are on the completely pure platform, they usually do anyway, just to maintain the etiquette as Krishna himself did, as Lord Chaitanya himself did, as great acharyas like Ramanuja. They also accepted initiation. So you probably all know some devotees who have taken initiation but have not maintained enough faith in the process, for whatever reason, they have not maintained enough faith in the process that they like to, or that they do, continue to follow it very seriously. Some of them may also, they chant Hare Krishna little, but not 16 rounds as they vowed to, or they chant some rounds, or they chant Hare Krishna and they watch TV also, or maybe some who are initiated aren't even told they're not supposed to watch TV, which is asat-sanga. Asat-sanga tyage vaishnava-cha. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, what is the behavior of a Vaishnava? How can we recognize a Vaishnava? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that the first symptom of someone who is a Vaishnava is that they give up bad association. So bad association doesn't only mean with grossly sinful people, but with TV and cinema and all these things, which portray largely grossly sinful people and grossly sinful activities. Whatever it is, it's not Krishna conscious. There may be sometimes some Krishna conscious person on TV, but generally not. So that's just an example. There's so many ways in which people do not maintain full faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. And there are also, here in India even, some who, having been initiated in Krishna consciousness, they go away and they may even descend to the platform of eating meat, taking alcohol. They may go down so low. They don't maintain faith in Krishna consciousness for whatever reason, or they don't maintain faith in their guru, and they adopt this useless Ritvikism idea that, just like the Protestantism in the Christian religion, it's just me and Prabhupada and the books and Krishna. I don't need any personal guidance. So in various ways, we lost them. We lost their faith. They don't can't give their faith. They don't commit themselves. Their outlook has changed. To have accepted initiation means that, hopefully, when they accepted initiation, they made a commitment. At initiation, the commitment is to chant 16 rounds minimum of the Hare Krishna mantra every day, and to follow four regulated principles. That is the spoken commitment. But there are so many other items which one has to follow if one is to maintain that. One has to avoid various kinds of offenses. One has to adopt the principles, anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. One has to do whatever is required that is favorable for advancing in devotional service, and forswear, give up, is the English easy term, give up all activities that will impede our devotional advancement. Now, living in these hellish cities like Secunderabad, Hyderabad, twin cities, it's not the only hellish place, but living in these hellish cities, it's very difficult in many ways to always act on the platform of anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, doing only that which is favorable for Krishna consciousness and giving up that which is not. It's very difficult because the whole atmosphere is unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. The atmosphere is saturated with kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. That's only the beginning. There are so many other bad things, but the atmosphere is saturated with lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy. So to be Krishna conscious in such an atmosphere requires a very strong commitment, very strong association. Otherwise, the atmosphere will tend to carry one away. It's very easy in the atmosphere of the Kali Yuga cities to not be Krishna conscious. One has to make a very strong personal commitment to be Krishna conscious. Because after all, the outlook of materialistic people and the outlook of Krishna conscious people is totally different, opposite. So we see that people with much nurturing and encouragement, they come to the platform of chanting 16 rounds a day, following the principles, but at some point, either gradually, they go away, they stop associating with devotees, or they only come very rarely, attend programs, they gradually float away. Or someone may just quickly go away. They see something, they recognize some hypocrisy among devotees, which unfortunately is not as uncommon as we would like it to be, and they go away. Their whole outlook just changes. In this world, anyone's outlook, it can just change suddenly, especially by bad association. A prime example of that is found in the Ramayana. Okay, I gave a clue. Who can supply? Not you. You know everything. Anyone else? We can see who's studying Shastra very well. All right, you say. Kaikeyi, that's the example I was thinking of. Is that what you're also thinking of, Devahari? And yourself, Gaurgopal? She heard the news, Ram's going to be the king. Oh, thank you, Mantara, for telling me. And Mantara said, what? What, you stupid woman? What do you mean? And Kaikeyi in the beginning was saying, no, you're wrong. And Mantara in a short time poisoned her mind so that she thought that Ram, who had never shown any symptom of any bad quality, but somehow she believed that Ram was plotting against Bharata, even though Ram was actually more attached to Kaikeyi than his own mother, Kaushalya. Somehow she believed someone said all bad things. It's much easier to convince people of bad things than good things. If you go and say, hey, did you hear about did this, said this, very bad. And if you go and tell someone, someone, such good things, they say, no, come on, you're exaggerating. Yeah. Can't be true. Actually, he's a bad person. So, Mantara is a very popular person in the modern age. She has incarnated herself. Actually, the personality of Kali, quarrel, has entered the minds and the hearts of the people of Kali Yuga. So, Kaikeyi just changed very quickly from being so much attached to Ram to being so cruelly against Ram and so much dedicated to her husband that he'll die of separation. Okay, you die. She became so cruel. So people can change. In this material world, people are in Maya, that's the material world. We're trying to bring them to Krishna consciousness. It's not easy But to take someone out of Krishna consciousness seems to be very easy. We see Indians, especially those who go to the West, they very quickly become the most degraded. Srila Prabhupada quoted about Indians in the West that new crows eat more stool. With the idea, you see, the Indian people go to the West and they do more illicit sex, more meat eating, more drinking alcohol than the local people. Or people come from the country to the city, especially if they get a job in the call center. And they're very innocent, and very quickly they're specifically encouraged to engage in illicit sex, intoxication, and all bad things. They very quickly degrade to the platform of lechers, worse than they may even be from a cultured background, but they become most uncultured. There may also be this verse, Ashadadhana Purusha. This refers to people who have no faith in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada also described people who don't actually have faith in Krishna consciousness, but they take to Krishna consciousness with not the motive to serve Hari Guru and Vaishnava, but with another motive. I'll read from Srila Prabhupada's purport from the third canto, 32nd chapter, text 40 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada writes, "There are so-called disciples who become submissive to a spiritual master most artificially with an ulterior motive." In Bengali there's a saying, I learned it from Srila Prabhupada first of all. Ati bhakti chore lokon. The Bengalis are laughing. Ati bhakti, a big show of bhakti. It is chore lakshanam. It is the symptom of a thief. There's probably a similar saying in Hindi and Telugu and all such things. Just like Sanatan Goswami, he escaped from prison and was running away. He came to a resting place at the edge of the jungle, Hazaribagh, it said. That must be in Jharkhand now, is it? Yeah. And the hotel keeper, Sanatan Goswami, was all scruffy, probably hadn't shaved for several days, and dirty. And the hotel keeper received him with much respect and said, "Oh, please come." He arranged for his bath and said, "I'll give you food for cooking." And Sanatan, he'd been a government minister, he thought, "Why is this person receiving me so nicely? I think my servant must be carrying some of the massive wealth that he had previously, which he thought he'd left behind." But Sanatan Goswami suspected that his servant had kept some of the gold coins, and that the hotel keeper somehow or other knew about that. So he asked, Sanatan Goswami asked his servant, his name was Ishan, "Ishan, did you keep any of those gold coins that we used to have?" He said, "Yeah, I kept seven. I kept seven of them." So Sanatan said, "Give them to me." And he went to the hotel keeper and said, "You please take these coins. you take them. He could understand what, and the hotel keeper said to Sanatan, he was honest in this respect. He said, I keep an astrologer with me because many people, they're smuggling, they go through whatever. They look like they're very poor, but actually they're carrying lots of money in this hundi business, the people who carry cash, I happen to know. They'll go just looking very poor and ordinary while they're walking around with lakhs of rupees, which they have to deliver. So he said, I keep an astrologer, and from him I understood that your servant has 8 gold coins. So it's good that you gave to me, and I appreciate that. Anyway, you keep the money, and I'll help you anyway. And Sanatan said that, anyway, you are going to kill me for the money. If you don't, someone else kills. So take it anyway. And then the hotel keeper gave him a guide to help him get over the hills. And Sanatan said to Ishan, do you have any left of the money? Because Ishan had said, I kept 7. And the hotel keeper's astrologer said, there are. He said, yeah, I have 1 gold coin. So he said to him, okay, you take it and go home. Now you leave me. So like that, that's Sanatan Goswami recognized that the inordinate, unnecessary respect offered to him by the hotel keeper was a sign that he had an ulterior motive. So I'll go back to this section that I was reading. I'll start again as I made a digression. There are so-called disciples who become submissive to a spiritual master most artificially with an ulterior motive. They also, because this verse refers to people who cannot understand Krishna consciousness, so they also cannot understand what Krishna consciousness or devotional service is. Generally, materialistic persons are after some name, fame, and material gain. So if someone takes to Krishna consciousness for these reasons, he will never be able to understand this philosophy. What does it mean to understand this philosophy? Well, you can take a Bhakti Shastra course, and you can pass the exam. Or you could go to a university. There are universities in the Western countries where they have courses on Indology, and there may be some specialists who study Bengali Vaishnavism or Chaitanya Vaishnavism. They never call it Gauriya Vaishnavism, which is the term that Gauriyas themselves use. And they may become experts. They might be able to explain the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu better than the devotees who are practicing. So they understand the philosophy. No, they don't understand. Because understanding means, as I'm going back to this 9th chapter, text 3 of Bhagavad Gita purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So if one actually understands Bhagavad Gita, one should apply himself in Krishna consciousness. So it may be that people, they are applying themselves in Krishna consciousness, but it's not sarvadhaman parityajamam ekam sharanam vraja. It's not, they haven't given up all other dharmas. They haven't given up manodharma. The proclivities of the mind is called manodharma. It's not dharma in the sense of kshatriya dharma or brahmachari dharma or stri dharma or adhyatmik dharma, but it means the, in this sense, dharma means the inherent tendency. So the inherent tendency of the mind is sankalpa vikalpa, accepting and rejecting on the platform of what is favorable for my own self-interest and what is not. And what, how do they judge self-interest? Nate vidu swarajagating hi vishnam. They take their self-interest not for what it really is, which means to surrender to Krishna, but they have their idea of, as Srila Prabhupada writes in this Bhagavatam purport, name, fame, and material gain. So, Srila Prabhupada writes, generally materialistic persons are after some name, fame, and material gain. So if someone takes to Krishna consciousness for these reasons, he will never be able to understand this philosophy. Such persons take to religious principles as a social decoration. They admit themselves into some cultural institution for the sake of name only, especially in this age. Such persons also cannot understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Now, as I understand, some people object to me talking about things like this. Why am I always so negative? Why do I talk about people who are supposed to be in Krishna consciousness, but they're not really? They're making a show. Well, if you want to accuse me, then you have to accuse Srila Prabhupada also, because I'm just reading from his purport about this. And you have to accuse Vyasadeva also, because we're reading from the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he states these things. The Bhagavatam, at the beginning, Vyasadeva declares about distinguishing reality from illusion for the benefit of all. So if we fail to do so, then we're not actually following the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is called Ardha Kukuti Nyai, half a chicken reasoning. If we think, I like the nice things in Srimad Bhagavatam, all the descriptions of Krishna with a peacock feather in his hair, but all these things where it says that people are not sincere, and they're not, those who do not surrender to Krishna are simply fools and rascals. There are many such statements in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. If we don't like that, we don't want to hear that, then we're not really in Krishna consciousness, because Krishna consciousness means to accept fully what Krishna says, just as Arjuna says to Krishna, Sarvam etad ritang manye yang mang vadasi Keshava. I accept fully as truth everything that you say, O Keshava. So he may say, okay, all right, we accept that as true, but why do you have to keep on saying it? We have to keep on saying it because there are people like you who don't want to hear it, who like to pretend that they are already on the platform of simply relishing Krishna, and they're not attracted to that which drags them down to the hellish platform of not being in Krishna consciousness. So it's all very nice if we just pretend that, well, everyone who wears some tilak and is initiated and has a bead bag in their hand sometimes, or at least around their neck, or at least hanging in their house, they're all great devotees and everything is all wonderful and everyone's a great devotee, and don't criticize anyone or anything. If we talk like that, we can understand that we have, anyone who talks like that, we can understand that they have ulterior motives. If we say not to criticize, then we can understand that person has ulterior motives, because they don't want to be criticized. They want to pretend that everything is all right and everything is nice when it's not. And unless and until we fully come to the platform of complete surrender to Krishna, there is much to be criticized. And it should be pointed out. There's one thing, envious criticism of others. But another thing is to point out to people, and in general, in philosophical talks like this, what we are doing, what we are thinking, how we are acting, what is our attitude, that is keeping us from fully surrendering to Krishna. To point this out is required so that we can recognize how we need to improve, so that we don't get caught on the platform of being somewhat Krishna conscious and somewhat materialistic. That kind of consciousness will not bring us to Krishna. So we can see that someone who is harboring material desires in the name of being Krishna conscious, if we just press a little, push a little and say, hey, this is not proper, this way of thinking is not proper, this way of acting is not proper, then we see how they react if their sense gratification is threatened. People may appear to be very nice. They're smiling, they may be helping others, but if you just push a little and say, hey, this is something you're doing which you should not do. Of course, we shouldn't be fault finders and go around looking for faults, but there are certain activities which if someone does, it should be pointed out. If you push a little, and we see how they may become envious if their sense gratification is threatened. So such people, they don't, although they may appear to be, they don't really have faith in Krishna consciousness, which means Krishna's instructions, in the prospect of fully surrendering to Krishna. They don't have faith in Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. They're on the monorat. They're on the platform of the mind. They see in Krishna consciousness a possibility to enhance their sense gratification, maybe by increasing their financial situation, or by, as Srila Prabhupada says here, name, fame, and material gain. So, we should be, by reading this, we should be careful. Srila Prabhupada is warning us that not everyone in Krishna consciousness is doing it wholly and solely for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. There are people, Srila Prabhupada warns right here, that people take to Krishna consciousness for ulterior motives. They have some personal motive, which means that they may seem to be Krishna conscious, but actually they have another aim. And if someone takes a prominent role, maybe by their personality, their very strong personality, they're good at organizing and good at bringing people in and bringing people to programs and functions, they may have some ability like this, and they may dovetail it in Krishna conscious activities, but they never understand Krishna consciousness, actually. Because if they would, then they would not be acting for their own name, fame, monetary gain. And if they do something wrong and it's pointed out, they should be very, oh, thank you. They should be very thankful. Thank you for pointing it out. But then if they react in the other way and deny they make any mistake and instead blame the messenger. There's a, don't shoot the messenger. There's a saying. In political etiquette, throughout the world, there's always been the etiquette that if someone comes as a messenger from the enemy party, you don't punish or kill him. You may say, he's from the enemy, he's coming with a message, but you don't kill him. Because he's got a message, even you don't like to hear it, but don't kill him, don't punish him. Because a reason for that is, if you kill the messenger, then the whole system of sending messages between opposing parties breaks down. Then no one will send any messenger. And You need sometimes to send a messenger, and sometimes you want to hear what the messenger has to say. For instance, the messenger may come and say, look, you're losing the battle. Why don't you surrender now, and we'll give you good surrender terms. So you may want to hear that instead of getting completely annihilated. So it's just a part of politics that the messenger shouldn't, someone who gives bad news or that something you don't like to hear, you should listen to what they have to say and consider it seriously. So much more so in spiritual life, where if it's pointed out that someone is doing something they shouldn't do, then that should be seriously considered. Of course, again, it's not simply fault-finding, but especially if the guru tells the disciple has to be ready to accept that. It's another reason why Ritvikism is bogus, because there's no person to point out the faults that the disciple is committing. But if the disciple is not prepared to accept that rectification, it means they were never a disciple at all. They're simply making a show. Such people, when they become prominent in Vaishnav society, then they mislead others. Another kind of nice type of person we should avoid is the Mayavadis. From Bhagavad Gita we know Krishna states Advaishta Sarvabhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirahankara Samadukha Sukha Kshami. Krishna says, he describes someone who is not envious of any living being, who is friendly and merciful to all, who has no sense of I-ness or any sense of false egoism, and is equal in distress and happiness. And the Mayavadis, they may try to adopt this. But this series of verses in the 12th chapter of Gita specifically refers to Krishna's devotees. He says, Yomad Bhakta Same Priyaha. One who has the qualities as my devotee, he's very dear to me. So the Mayavadis, they may appear to be very nice. They may open hospitals and schools and feed poor people. They may be very cultured in their behavior, protect cows. It's very good to protect cows. They may reverence the Ganga and the holy rivers. So good qualities, but they're not, although they may imagine themselves to be Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam, not envious of any living being. Actually, by their very philosophy, they're envious of everyone, because they're spreading the wrong idea that we don't have to surrender to Krishna, that we're all on the platform of God. And in this way, they're not nirahankara, they're most egoistic people, because they think, I have become God, we're all God. What could be more egoistic than that? So even though they may act very politely, as if they're not egoistic, their very philosophy is totally egoistic. And same with Mayavadis. They may be very nice and receive you nicely, but then if you talk to them that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we all have to surrender, then you see their envy come out. They're actually very envious of Krishna. So, we should be nice, Krishna says here, Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam. We should be nice to everyone, but we should understand what nice means. Nice doesn't mean making a show of devotional service. Nice doesn't mean being a Mayavadi. Nice means to fully surrender to Krishna in all respects. It's a challenge. Because to act on that platform means to go against everything in the world, especially in this horrible Kali Yuga. The world is getting bad and worse day by day. Anyone who's, say, 30 years old or older, they can look back, say, 20 years or more, and think, how the world has got so bad. How old is your present bag of bones, Devahari Prabhu? Huh? Aapka Umar? 51. Okay. So you remember 30 years back. Is the world as bad now as it was then, or is it worse than then? Huh? Now it's much worse. Much worse. So we can see how everything is getting bad and worse. So to practice Krishna consciousness, it's a great challenge in this sinful world, in this society. So we have to practice very seriously. It's not just a matter of some fun. Come together, have a little kirtan, cook some prasad and chit-chat. That's not going to help us go beyond the world of birth and death. That will keep us, mrityu samsara, that will keep us in the world of birth and death. Having a little chit-chat and being nice with each other, okay, no, not okay. It's not okay. We need to do more. We have to really endeavor. We have to maintain faith in this process of Krishna consciousness and understand that what we have to do to get out of this material condition. Ultimately, we have to get the mercy of the Vaishnavas, but same time, we have to make our own effort and be very serious in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, the baby is crying, so you have to train the baby how not to cry. That is the duty of a guru. What? Guru? They're not first. Yeah, guru. First guru is the mother, right? How not to cry means they have to take to Krishna consciousness and go back to Godhead. Otherwise, punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani jatare shayanam. Again and again they get born, again and again have to cry. So if we learn to cry for Krishna, then we won't have to learn. We won't have to again be born and crying. How many lifetimes have we been crying? Going on crying. So cry out for Krishna. Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Oh Krishna, oh energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. Srila Prabhupada warns here about those who make a show of devotional service. Actually, they want to engage Krishna in their own service. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. I'm not going to take questions just now. I have some urgent physical activity to attend to. In Sanskritam it's called, well, the first word is laghu, and you can guess the second one, if you know this term at all. Hare Krishna.